I'm not sure how to stir people to even listen. Some of you are done with Youth Week this morning. But that's not my responsibility, that's yours. It's a conscious choice you make. It's a decision you make. It's willful, it's deliberate. When you get to the place where God's pricking your heart and you harden yourself against it, you're in trouble. You're in a lot of danger. A rebel, consistently through the Word of God, is that one that thinks he's just speaking against man. But he's not. He's going against God. I've been involved with youth and adults enough. I've seen pastors in authority, God-given authority, ask people to do something they refuse. Why would you think that is? Because they're a rebel. We establish rules to stay here, and this is usually about 80% buck against the rules because they're rebels. I said, they're rebels.
Come on.
Who are you to tell me? I want you young people to know this. Anything Peter or Megan gave you as a rule came from me and John Asquith. You say, well, would listen to you. No, that's because you're a rebel. John Asquith and I do that to protect. And by the way, that's our God-given. That's God given that we protect other young people from rebels. You bunch of dirty porno-watching perverted boys chasing girls aren't going to see a thing from God. When you're a dirty porno-watching perverted boy chasing girls. Sluts don't get a thing from God. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to preach sweet and kind. That is pretty sweet and kind if you'll listen.
Right.
I said, they won't get a thing. Seriously, you ought not use that word, but what do you call them?
Come on, man.
Women of the night? Jezebels? Harlots? Right. I mean, what would you pray? I mean, I can use Bible terms. That's fine. But most people know the other term pretty well.
Sir.
We make rules to protect. God makes rules to protect. Rebels. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft.
Yes, sir.
Stubbornness. And by the way, that iniquity of stubbornness is where you won't change. How do you know a boy that came here to chase girls? Because he bucks against the rules about chasing girls. He's a rebel. What child yells at their parents? Somebody help me out. We're doing some preaching. This is interactive. This is introduction. If our brother can testify for 72 minutes and then preach a message, I can do that too. Amen. I'm not making light of that. I've given introductions an hour and didn't even know what I was going to preach. That's a rebel. Nobody is going to tell me what to do. You're a rebel. Well, John says all the time, men don't get saved when they're drunk. Men don't get saved when they're hot. Men don't get saved when they're rebels.
Right.
Right.
I'm just telling what the Word of God says.
Amen.
God sent rebels to hell.
Yes, sir.
You stop your rebellion, you might submit yourself to God. You might get saved. God's going to save you in your bitterness. And I realize that's contrary to easy believing. God's obligated to save you when you're bitter against Him. I'd be honest, probably should back up to Tuesday night. Just sit for about 3-4 hours till people get that bitterness right. Perversion abounds, wickedness abounds. Man of God stands and preaches, and nobody cares.
Come on.
Why? Because they're rebellion. Some of you can't get over that. Some of you can't get past the fact that we have rules to live by. Y'all live in my house. I got rules for people to come roof my house. Keep your stinking shingles out of my wife's flowers. You just go ahead and say amen, man. Ask them. My exact words, get your stinking shingles out of my wife's flowers. They said, well, it just happens. No, it doesn't. Not in my house. Is everybody okay?
Yeah.
I worked for a man in pest control. You know how many pest control? We sprayed the stuff where we're supposed to go. And if you sprayed it anywhere else, you had to file a report. You know what he told me? We don't worry about that. I'm thinking to myself, you're not spraying my house. Hey, look, goldfish. Shh. I don't fly. Well, now that he's happy, Timothy, Samuel's going to hand you a microphone. You're going to be on microphone duty. I need some young men, some young ladies to read. So you need to have a King James Bible. If you have a King James Bible, young people, you can classify yourself. Hold up the King James Bible if you have that. All right. How many of you can read? Keep your Bibles up. I mean, and how many of you don't mind public speaking? Maybe stand up in front of these people and read a couple of verses. That's very good. Timothy, we're looking for some volunteers. Now, this is what we're going to do. I need a young man who's going to turn to Matthew 1, verses 22 and 23. I need a young man. Put your hand in the hand. Terry, you're going to read Matthew 1, 22 and 23. I need a young lady who's going to read Isaiah 7 and 14. Volunteers? That'd be Miss Gracie Ford back there. I need a young man who's going to read Matthew 2, 5, and 6. Josiah is going to handle that. A young lady will read Micah 5, 2, and 3. Young ladies, anybody? Don't be rebels. I need help. Boy, that's a blessing. Where are we at?
Lydia.
Mary Lee will take care of that. Okay, that'll be fine. I need a young man to read Matthew 2 and 15. Ryan, you got that. Hosea 11, 1, young ladies. Young lady, you read that. We need Matthew 2, 17. Zane, Jeremiah 31, 15. Sarabella, you got that. All right, Matthew 2, 23. I'll let you handle that. I need Psalm 22, verses 6 and 7. Megan, I need Isaiah 53, 3. Young lady. Young lady, help me out. Abigail, thank you for that. We're going to pause right there. We'll come back and we'll revisit this. All right, this is what I'm going to do. Timothy, you're going to run the microphone to our person of interest. Who has Matthew 1, 22, and 23? Karen, I want you to read that clearly and loudly so that everyone can hear what you say.
Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall be bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Amen. Thank you. All right, who has Isaiah 7 and 14? Miss Gracie Ford, back over here, take it.
Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Now, what we just heard, if you weren't listening too careful, I hope you were listening. We heard Matthew describe exactly what was written in the book of Isaiah. The Gospel of Matthew, according to Matthew, he told us that it was written by the prophet Isaiah. And he told us that at the birth of Jesus Christ. Just keep that in mind. Let's go to Matthew 2, 5, and 6. Let's listen to another fulfillment of prophecy. Who has that one? Josiah.
And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, Thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.
All right, who has Micah 5, 2, and 3? There's Mary Lee right down front here.
But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, will not be little among the thousands of Judah. Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been up from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up, until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel.
All right, now again, what have we heard? We've heard Matthew is telling us exactly what the prophet Micah said. And Matthew is telling us this is the fulfillment of that prophecy given in the book of Micah. Very simple. Let's go to the next one. I want you to listen carefully. Who had Matthew 2:15? Ryan, right down front.
And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son.
Now notice that. The word of God told us right there very specifically, which was spoken of by the prophet. Let's hear from the prophet. That's Hosea 11 and 1. Who has that?
When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt.
Right, there's the prophecy. We heard the fulfillment. Let's do one more. Let's go to Matthew 2:17. Who had that? Zane had that. Boy, to the shame. These poor homeschooled children can't read, can't write, socially awkward. Amen.
Come on,
amen. That'd be weird.
Then which was filled that was spoken by Jeremy, the prophet, saying.
All right. Let's go to Jeremiah 31:15, and now this time we're going to hear what Jeremiah had to say. Who had Jeremiah 31:15? Sarah Beth.
Thus saith the Lord, was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahab for her children refused to be comforted for her children because they were not.
All right, there's the prophecy, there's the fulfillment. Let's go backwards this time. Who had Psalm 22, 6 and 7? Megan. Psalm 22, 6 and 7.
But I am a worm and no man, reproach of men, despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying.
Isaiah 53:3, Abigail.
He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not.
So we see three times in those two passages that word despised is used. It's the fulfillment of Matthew, or fulfilled in Matthew 2 and 23. Who had Matthew 2 and 23? He had Matthew 2 and 23, Tim.
And it came to pass, and dwelt in the city of Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene.
So, thank you very much. Timothy, that's good for now. For now. Now, this is what we've done. We've established a couple of facts from the Word of God. They were established in the law. They were fulfilled in the book of Matthew. Now be honest, how many of you learned something from that? See a couple of hands. How many of you learned nothing from that? Okay, well, there it is. How many of you learned something from that? Raise your hand. Now be honest, how many of you learned nothing from that? I learned nothing. You know why? I just read it this morning. I learned anything. But there was a time when I did learn it. There was a time when I saw this passage of Scripture. I know it was hard to follow with the young people reading. I understand that. There was a time when I had to learn this passage of Scripture and apply them to my life and to my heart. And I had to learn when he said what was spoken by the prophet. And by the way, it's fairly basic. I had to go back and learn what the prophet said. I'm going to read at this point. I'll go a little bit quicker. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. And keep your place in Isaiah. We'll go back to the book of Matthew. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God, Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Keep your place in Isaiah. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3. And I realize this is Sunday School 101. This is the bare basics. That's on purpose. In those days, Matthew 3 and 1, came John the Baptist. So now he tells us who Isaiah is speaking about. And he says, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Be honest. How many of you have never seen that description? Be honest. There's a couple. He learned something. He learned something. He learned something. She learned something. These are the basics. Eventually, one of your preachers is going to have to tell the truth. And you just say amen on that. Oh, I missed that one. Now, I know. We all know it. We all got it. But you know what happens? There's a time I've heard men preach, and I'm sitting there going, I've never seen that. And four-year-olds are going, my Sunday school teacher taught me that last week.
Yeah.
Amen. I've never seen that. You realize there's a lot of people in here that are new to this? There are young people here that are new to this. They're new to the Word of God. They're new to the things of God. I don't remember exactly the first time a preacher preached on John, but I remember other times that prophecies, I'm going, wow. You know what the Lord did? He lit the lamps a little brighter. And I saw Christ a little clearer. A little bit of oil came down those pipes, amen. And those lamps burned a little bit brighter. And I saw Christ. Let's do another. Isaiah 42 and 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. How many of you believe Jesus Christ fulfilled that? How many of you believe that? Why do you believe that? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because Matthew, in chapter 4, in verse 14, said this. That it might be fulfilled. Did I get the right one? I think so. I hope so. My books are spoken by Isaiah the prophet in the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. I got the wrong one. That's pretty good, isn't it? How many of you learned something? Amen. My infallibility stopped with my papal service. Let me go to the next one because I don't have any subnotes on that. Amen. Let me go check one real quick. I know it. Thank you very much. It is verse 16. Thank you for that. Always ask a preacher that knows. Matthew 4 and 16 says this. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region of shadow of death, light is sprung up. And then notice this, from that time, once that prophecy is fulfilled, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So again, we see just one more, some 20 prophecies just in the book of Matthew. We see them fulfilled from places in the Word of God. Books like Micah, books like Zechariah, books like Isaiah, books like Jeremiah. Very simple prophecies. Very simple words. All he does is says, makes this statement, the prophet said that, and so when he says, as the prophet said, and sometimes he tells you the prophet was. It's so simple to do, to go back and find that prophet. Jonah's especially easy. You can search the book of Jonah fairly quickly. So So when he speaks of Jonah, you can look simply. It's very, Isaiah's a little bit more complicated. It might take you several days to find what you're looking for if you just search. There are tools out there to help you, but I recommend just search and find. And God is going to give you more life. God is going to illuminate more. God is going to show you more of Jesus Christ. And the more you see that, the more he's going to open other scripture to you. And what happens is that somewhere in that memory bank, you're saying, you know what, I remember that. I remember that. I don't know where that's at, but I remember that somewhere. That's what your phone is for. Amen. Amen. And I'm saying that as a preacher, to God be the glory. That's your phone is for. John asked me, says, yeah, well, I'm trying to memorize this, 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 and this. And listen, my mind doesn't work that way. It just does not work that way. My phone does. So when the EMP goes off, I'm going to have to go back to James Strong and how I despise that. Amen. You say, what do you have against James Strong? Extremely small letters. Amen. That's the only thing I have against his concordance. That's the only thing I have against James Strong's concordance. Now, I got notes written in the rest of it in case my children ever find it, but I'll leave that alone for now. Amen. The concordance part, I go, well, let me go find this. You know, you're looking for a word 692 times. I'm like, I'm going to be here a while. Amen. On the phone, I can just go scroll, 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 scroll. New Testament only, scroll, scroll, scroll. It's so simple. Hey, thank the Lord for that. And if you all that carnal, you may as well just say amen too and play along with me on that. But studying the Word of God. Finding Jesus Christ. Somebody asked me recently, how did I come to Christ? And I know it sounds too simple, but it's that simple. When you see Jesus Christ and you realize this is Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden you're sitting there and you say, that's him. And by the way, I've been saying 25 years, and that still happens.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's look at a couple more. Can we do that, Tim? Let's get some more runners real quick. I'm not going to bore you. Amen. If you're bored, it's your fault. Amen. You can imagine all kinds of things in your mind. I mean, you can, you know, imagine fireworks. You can daydream. If you're bored, it's not my fault. That's your problem. Amen. Just throwing that out there. Tim, let's get two more men. Let's do this. Let's go to... Oh, here's an interesting one, okay? Now, I need somebody to speak very clear. I need somebody a little bit older. Luke, you're going to do Matthew 13:35, okay? Now, I need three young ladies that can speak very clear, not loud, or Brother Williams will have to rebuke you like he did Sister Tanya. Amen. That's a long story. Three young ladies that can speak clearly. I need three volunteers quickly.
Autumn Morey says she would.
Miss Cassiola, can you speak clearly? Okay, good. I want you to read Psalm 78. Now listen, Psalm 78, and if your Bible has an introduction, I need to hear that. Okay, if it has the entire psalm, it tells you what the psalm is about. Psalm 78, and then verses 1 and 2. I need somebody to read 1 Chronicles 25, 1 through 3. That'll be Autumn Morey. And then 2 Chronicles 29:30. Who else is my volunteer? Miss Cassiola. Okay? For 2 Chronicles 29:30. So let's read Psalm 78. And you go down through verse 2. Okay?
Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to Mishael of Ashtiff. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the people of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old.
Now I want you to notice something she said there. And listen, thank the Lord for that. Now listen, Psalm 78 is masculine of Asaph. Okay? And then he says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Take note of that. Asaph. Okay. My next reader was Autumn Morey. Autumn Morey, go ahead and read. What's that? Your reference is 1 Chronicles 25, 1 through 3. Get the microphone, please.
Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the
the service of the sons of Asaph.
What was that again? The sons of who?
Asaph.
Okay, very good. We heard that name.
And the Heman and Jeduthun, who should prophesy the harps and polystries and the cymbals and the number of the workmen appointed to their service was of the sons of Asaph, Zachar, Joseph, Nathan, Asala, the sons of Asaph, under the hands of Asaph, which prophesied according to the order of the king.
Now hold on right there. You can stop. Asaph, which what? Prophesied. The sons of Asaph played those instruments. Thank you all. Thank you. You pass the microphone down. They played those instruments, and the word of God said, what did Asaph do? Somebody help me out. Prophesy. Go ahead, young lady.
Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped.
Now they sang praises, the songs of David and who? Asaph the seer. Now what was the seer called in old times? It's a prophet. In old times he's called a seer. A prophet of God. Luke Morey, if you would you read Matthew 13:35?
That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
Amen. Now, let's be honest. How many of you learned something?
Amen.
Amen. Timothy, thank you. We're done. Asaph was a prophet. And he prophesied in Psalm 78. Now, this is what blows me away. Out of nowhere, he is going to hammer Israel. I mean, he is going to decimate Israel. He's going to call them everything under the sun and how they've rebelled against God and they've limited God and they've destroyed their testimony. And God's going to judge them. Before he tells them all of that, he speaks of one. Who's it? Who is that one he speaks of? Jesus Christ. He's going to utter dark sayings of old. Who is this man? It's Jesus Christ. What is he speaking? The word of God. We sing about him. We've sung about him. We've played instruments skillfully and sung songs unto him, not knowing that we were singing of him.
That's good.
Yet Jesus Christ is revealing himself through prophecy. Can I say this? The light gets a little bit brighter.
Amen.
The candlestick gets a little bit more clear. The Lord reveals Jesus Christ, help me out now, church, through the law and the prophets. New Testament only, church. Not hardly. It's false Christ. How Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture.
Amen.
What Scripture is that? Well, pretty much both. The old and the new. He's buried. They put him in that tomb. After 3 days, he rose again. How? According to the Scripture. What Scriptures? These ones. In the volume, it's written. All of his wanderings were written in this book, according to prophecy. You see, that same passage, his tears were bottled up, according to prophecy. So we see Jesus Christ, and we see him in the old, revealing him in the new. Now again, I challenge each of us with this. And by the way, that was a spiritual experiment. Let me ask this question now. How many of you learned, besides my mistake, how many of you learned something in the scriptures? Would you raise your hand? You know why I used Asaph? Because I'm thick-headed. I've been saved 25 years, studying the Word of God for 25 years. And guess what I didn't know until I looked at that just recently? I didn't understand Asaph. When I saw it was a Psalm of Asaph, I went, oh, I've heard of that guy before. Now listen, I've been saved 25 years, been preaching now for 20 years, 21 years. You think I knew Asaph was a seer? Now all you preachers going, oh, I knew that. You can't exhaust it. You can't tire it. You can't weary it. So how are you seeking God? How are you seeking God? For without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently, I said that diligently, the Word of God said that diligently seek Him. How are you seeking Him? I think we're seeking something besides Him. Experience, emotion, anything but Him. Amen.
Amen.
Part two. I appreciate the parts, and by the way, when you've been an evangelist long enough, you've learned. Sometimes your introductions, you almost go home and beat yourself up. That's just me. Going, is that an idiot? And then invariably, somebody will come up to you and go, brother, I really needed that. And I'm like, well, everybody else hated it, but I'm glad you needed it. Amen. That was just the introduction. This is the message.
Amen.
Let's go to Matthew 16:4. One of the most bitter things to me in my life, personally in my life, is when I am in a place where God's revealing the scriptures to me, and then I go let go of it. God's revealing things, and I continue in those things, and I, Brother John was talking about running those, I forget the term he used, but it's all over the place, and you're running, and I put it down, and I can never, ever, ever find where I was at. I can never find where I was at. You know why? Because in my laziness and my indifference, I call it busyness. Does anybody ever use that excuse? A man called me today and he said, hey, where have you been? I said, I've been busy. I have been, but you know, I didn't really want to talk about end times prophecy and John MacArthur. And I said, well, I've been busy. Part truth. I've been busy. That is true. That's an absolute truth. He didn't ask me why I haven't called him back. I would have had to tell him. I didn't want to talk to you. That'd be just unkind. So the reality is I'm too busy to finish what I started. Lazy, indifferent. Amen. Too busy to study. Too busy to take time. Too busy to find out what. I'm just too busy. Now, I have a wonderful excuse. Some of you have that excuse. It's wonderful. But John, you don't have that excuse. We have a baby in the house. Wonderful excuse. I was talking to Brother Tim Green the other day, and I told him, I'm trying to figure out how to balance three children, travel the road, stay in tune with God, stay in touch with God. Mostly I'm at 5:30 this week, just trying to find something from the Lord. And instead of saying, brother, just keep after, he just says, well, brother, God understands those things. I'm like, that's not what I wanted to hear, brother. It's lazy. Indifference. I'm just confessing my own faults to you. But I have a baby, so I have a wonderful excuse why I don't find God. I bought a field, bought a piece of land. What a wonderful excuse. I got a wife. Just go ahead and help me out, man, on that. And what a wonderful... What about you clowns that don't have a wife? What's your excuse? Amen. I mean, listen. You have a wife? I mean, you got to pay attention to her. My wife, even with children, my wife's at the crack of noon every day. It takes all my attention away. My daughter's consistently 6:20, at home 6:25. And we're like, what child gets out of bed at 6:25? Especially a preacher's child. We don't go to bed sometimes till 10:10. 6:25 consistently on the dot. Daddy, I'm like, get up. What's your excuse? I'm going to be brief. Not sure what that means. Matthew 16, and the Pharisees, also the Sadducees, came, attempted, and desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and the morning will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Who's in front of them? What are the signs of the times, or the prophecy he's already fulfilled? Those are the signs in front of them. Jesus Christ is speaking to them, and he's telling them, you're not discerning what you're looking at. You're not discerning. They're looking for some miraculous sign. They're not looking for Jesus Christ. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Let's go to the book of Jonah. Look at chapter 2. Now, when I say the sign of the prophet Jonah, I don't want anybody running up and screaming heresy and foul and anything else. I just want you to just take what God gives us. What is that sign? I'm going to show you what God revealed to me in the sign of Jonah. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now those of you that are get or new, Jonah's a rebellious preacher. He's not obeyed God. He's fled from the face of God. God has him cast into the sea. A great fish swallows him up. And go tell your science teacher that Jesus Christ said it was a whale. Amen and amen. I said, go tell your science teacher that God called that great fish a whale. Just throwing that, science teachers, whale, fish. Just throwing that out there. Amen. Is anybody okay on that? Jesus Christ said it was a whale. Well, those words have changed over time. You know, no, they have not changed over time. A whale's been a whale for a long time. A fish has been a fish pretty much since God created them. Amen. So he's swallowed by a whale, and then after 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, the fish vomits him out. But again, the cliche, but it's a real cliche. There's nothing more vile, even to a whale, than a bitter preacher. Amen. So the whale vomits Jonah out on dry land. He goes and preaches to a city called Nineveh, and Nineveh repents at the preaching of Jonah. He doesn't like to repent. The fact that he repented, he's sorrowing, he's bitter, and God tells him, I did this because I had mercy on those people. Amen. That's kind of the summary of the book. In the midst of that, Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. And here's what took place. And I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves pass over me. So as I looked at this passage of Scripture, there's a couple of things I noticed immediately concerning the sign of Jonas. He cried by reason of his affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. And then this, out of the belly of hell cried I. and thou heardest my voice. Line upon line, line upon line. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Here a little, and there a little. 2 Samuel 22, verses 5 and 6. I'm going to run this just briefly because I want you to see this. 2 Samuel 22, 5 and 6. And David, verse 1, is speaking unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, out of the hand of Saul. In verse 5, when the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. Notice a pattern. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears.
Amen.
We also see that as a psalm in Psalm 18. David speaking, David showing us when he fled from the days of Saul, he's prophesying concerning Jesus Christ. You say, how do you know that? Well, David is not dead. And the Word of God said, the ways of death compass me. David is not dead. Then he said this. He said, the sorrows of hell compass me about. The snares of death prevented me. So immediately we can kind of push David aside and say, well, David must be speaking in another realm, another place. Could it be that when Peter told us in Acts chapter 2 and he called David a prophet of God, could it be that even as David is writing these Psalms, David is speaking of that one which has to come, which is the Lord Jesus Christ? We see the sorrow. We see the compassing about. We see the cry. We see, by the way, and you'll see that throughout the scripture, in Jesus Christ when he cried. His cry goes unto the Father. His cry goes unto the ears. His cry ascends into the heaven. His cry is unto the Lord. What did he cry? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The psalmist said, why art thou so far from helping me? His cry goes before the Lord, and the Lord heard him according to this passage and according to Psalm 18. The Lord heard him out of his holy temple. Can I say it, just paraphrasing on this, and then the earth shook. When you heard the cry of the Son, the earth shook. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top unto the bottom when the earth shook. Why? Because the Son of God was on the cross. The Son of God was made an offering for sin. The Son of God was paying our sin debt. In Job chapter 16, and again, this is one of those passages that the Lord so stirred me, and I'm not trying to be foolish with this, and I'm not trying to be simple with this. I was sitting in my chair, and I was sitting in my living room early in the morning before the children got up. This is several years ago. Nathaniel was just a baby. And I was reading down through there in Job 16, and I came upon a couple of these verses, and the Lord just opened my understanding to see Jesus Christ. The first thing I did, and I'm not being corny, screwball or anything, I just leaped up out of my chair before I knew it. And I realized the children were asleep, and I went, that's him! And I fell on my face before him. And this is what he said. In verse 9, he teareth me in his wrath. Who hateth me? Why? He's been made an offering for sin. He's bearing our iniquity. He's been made sin for us who knew no sin. And he teareth me in his wrath. By the way, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That was the Lord that bruised him. What man did to him did not compare to what the Father did to Jesus Christ. when he ran upon him to tear him. And he said, he teareth me in his wrath, who hateth me, and gnasheth upon me with his teeth. Mine enemy sharpeneth his eyes upon me. They have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. That's Lamentations 3:30, Isaiah 56, both fulfilled. God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. Notice verse 12. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. I was at ease, and he hath broken me asunder. People say, well, is that Job? That's Job prophesying of that one which is to come. That is Job speaking to the Son of God. And as he ran upon him and tear him in his wrath, he broke him asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. And I still remember Brother Skolton contacted me. He was still lost, was still unconverted. And he sent me his usual gobbledygook email. And in the middle of that, I realized what he was saying. That's not an offense to you. Amen, brother. Back in those days, it was gobbledygook. Amen. That's a good Bible word. It's in Lamentations if you find that. Amen. Anybody learn anything tonight? And he contacted me, just said, that was me. Jesus Christ was choked for me. And he said, I realized Jesus Christ was taken by the neck and shaken for me. Jesus Christ was taken by the neck and the life choked out of him, something along those lines, for me. He's a lost man. God had given him light.
Amen.
God had made that candlestick more clear. God made those details more finite. And he could see Jesus Christ more clearly because of that light. He set him up for his mark. What is a mark? It's a place where the archers shoot at. And he said, his archers compass me about. In the book of Jonah, again, in our text, it's one of those interesting things. We see that throughout the scripture. And in the Messianic Psalms, you'll see that word compass or compassed about. And of course, the lowly compromises of today, so that's simply to circle or to surround. But in the Bible, we find out that that means that there's a motive behind it. When you're compassed about, there's more to it. When there's compassed about, and I've used the illustration of you're walking down a street in Black Creek, New York, and two dudes walk out down the street, and they kind of walk around you. You go, hey, they circled around me. But if you're in the Bronx, and two dudes walk out and start walking around you, nobody's going to say they circled around you and say, those men are compassing me about. There's a greater plan at work here. What does it mean? It literally means the points of a compass, but also it's used in the reference to the English language that they have a plan. There's something else going on. His archers compass him about. Why would archers compass you about? S'mores? Campfire? No, they're going to shoot you. You've been set up for the mark. They come around. They're circling him with a motive. We see that again in the text we just read in 2 Samuel. We see that in Psalm 18, that the sorrows of death compassed him about. The sorrows of hell compassed him about. In Psalm 22, those bulls of Bashan compass him about. The dogs compass him about. Why, the whole world is turned against him. The whole world is around him. The whole world wants to do him harm. The whole world wants to destroy him. And in the midst of that, he's set up for a mark that God's archers can shoot at him. It's been made sin for us. And then it pleased the Lord to bruise him. In our text in the book of Jonah, in verse 3, thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. In verse 5, the waters compassed me about. And notice the rest of that. Even to the soul. Even to the soul. By the way, that is a New Testament doctrine. It's those things that drown men in perdition. How does it drown them? It drowns their soul. Does lust drown men? There's no hope for them because they're drowning. Their own lust. Why they've encompassed about. That word in verse 3 says this, "For thou hast cast me into the deep." I'll just read this verse quickly, Psalm 69 and verse 64. He speaks of the deep there in Psalm 69. This is what the Word of God says to us. Psalm 69, verse 24. "Pour out thy indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. He says, let their habitation be desolate, none dwell in their tents, for they persecute him who they have smitten. And they talk to the grief of those thou hast wounded." Verse 34 said this, "Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas, and everything that moveth therein." Again, we see prophesy of Jesus Christ. Psalm 69 again, in verse 14, "Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me." Why? Those that go into the deep go into the pit. Where's that pit? It's where your feet are falling. But John talked about that the other day. It's where your feet are falling and you never touch the bottom. Why? You're in the pit. You're in the deep. And I realize I'm in the deep. I'm in deep water. But I can still swim. Psalm 88, verse 6 says on this wise, "Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves." Look what Jonah said in verse 2. "I cried by reason of" what? "Mine affliction." Why? The waves have compassed him. The dark waters have compassed him about. He's in the deep. When he made this statement and he says, "Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." He's prophesying of that one to come. That voice that cries out of the belly of hell. "In my distress, I called upon God, and he heard me." One place, I believe it's in Psalm 44, says, "I called upon him and he delivered me." Why? His soul's been made an offering for sin. He's died for us. His soul's been offered for sin, for you and for me. And I realize there's a generation today that preaches contrary to that, and they don't believe the Word of God concerning that. But as much as I'm standing in this pulpit, I believe this King James Bible. When he said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption," I believe he didn't leave his soul in hell.
Amen.
And I don't believe that holy one, the body of Jesus Christ, ever saw corruption.
Right.
I believe the worms bowed the knee. I believe every little bacteria that crawled up to him bowed the knee and called him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe he was still Jesus Christ. I believe he was still God. That Holy One of God laid in the grave. His soul was not left in hell. His Holy One did not see corruption. And when Peter prophesied about him, he said, he's telling us. He says, our patriarch David, he said his sepulcher is with us. He's both dead and buried. And his sepulcher is with us unto this day. He's not talking about David. He's not prophesying about himself. He's speaking of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jonah, in his darkest hour, in his darkest calamity, in his darkest point of his life, is speaking of Jesus Christ. Yet men can't see that. The Pharisees couldn't see that.
Right.
This is the sign of the prophet Jonah. That Jesus Christ is going to die for our sins according to the scriptures. He's going to be buried. And after 3 days, what's going to happen? Jonah's 3 days, three nights. Somebody help me out. Where is he? He's in the whale's belly. After 3 days, he's going to rise. He's going to live. He's going to resurrect according to the scriptures. Why can't we discern that sign? Why couldn't they discern that that's who Jonah's speaking of? Tear down this temple. 3 days, I'll build it again. They had Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. How many times in the scripture do you see the 3 days mentioned concerning the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures? But they couldn't discern the signs. I'm asking again tonight, what are we seeking? You seeking a little effeminate, long-haired, wimpy Jesus on the picture? This is for Youth Week and Youth Week only. Some of you won't get this. You're seeking Mick Jagger? It's an ode to Brother David Vernon. Hadn't been mentioned in a while. That's what people are looking for. Looking at a feminine, wimpy God that doesn't have the power to resurrect his son out of the depths of hell. Can I say to you, my God has that power.
Amen.
My God's always had that power. I'm wrestling. I'm wrestling. It's okay. You say, what kind of wrestling are you doing? Well, just like the old days. It hurts. It's painful. But now I'm wrestling in my soul. Let's go ahead and go to Psalm 27, verse 13. Psalm 27, verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Where's that at? In the land of the living. Where are we today? Somebody help me out. Is this the land of the living?
Amen.
How many of you are zombies? Be honest. How many believe in zombies? Don't answer that. Amen. We're in the land of the living. Why? Because we're alive. He said, I believed. What? To see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Let's go to another place. That's going to be in Psalm 109. Psalm 116. Again, prophesying Jesus Christ. Psalm 116. Verse 7. Return unto thy rest. What? O my soul. What does that tell you? His soul's not at rest. I'll take it a step further. His soul's in torment. Not at rest. Return to thy rest, O my soul. Why does he say it on that wise? For thou hast delivered my soul, verse 8, from death. Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
Amen.
Let me ask you, now this is a kind of a hypothetical question. Nobody needs to answer this, but how many of us remember who died and after 3 days buried, resurrected, and walked in the land of the living? Who was that? Jesus Christ. So why can't we see him? Because we're not seeking him. The more light that shines through the law and the prophets, the clearer you'll see him. We're not seeking him. We want experience, motives. I tremble to think of the motives of why people pray prayers. I tremble why people pray prayers. Fire escape, divorce relief, get the preacher off their back, scared of their Sunday school teacher, feel like they'll let somebody down, feel like they'll let mom and dad down. But when you see Jesus Christ, and you see Jesus Christ for who he is, can I say to you, once you see him, it probably really doesn't matter what you pray.
Amen.
But you got to see him.
Right.
What are you looking for? You're searching the pages of this volume looking for Jesus Christ. I started that study of the Messianic Psalms last year, and I kind of exhausted it until the Lord made me study the Messianic Psalms. I've had people contact me and thought I was crazy. I said, thought I was crazy. I said, brother, one guy said, what exactly is that? I said, it's Jesus Christ. I'll tell you how bad it's gotten. When I see the word cry in the Psalms, every single time I stop. Every single time. I see the word compass, I stop. And by the way, God's compassed about with mercy. Amen. That's not messianic, that's for us. Hallelujah. Amen. He's compassed us about with mercy, according to the Psalms. I had to stop and look at it. I see the soul in the Psalms. You realize 90% of the time the soul is mentioned in the Psalms, it's Jesus Christ. And by the way, that'll carry through most of the prophets. And you see the soul, and you realize that's Jesus Christ. Again, a man said to me one time, he said, well, okay, so his soul's made an offering for sin. We understand that. And I said, I don't think you understand that. It's not one verse. It's the volume of the book. It's not just one passage. It's the volume. It's not just one verse that says his soul's made an offering for sin. The Word of God throughout tells you his soul's made an offering for sin. That fat's cut away, the kidney, the caul above the liver, it's all cut away, it's taken to a separate place. Why? It's a picture of the soul. Jesus Christ's soul is cut away. Jesus Christ's soul was made an offering for sin. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. When the Lord bruised him, he cut away his soul. Spirit goes to the Father, body went to the grave, soul went into hell. Now the guy said this, you're a Stephen Anderson follower. No. Because he crossed, that day he crossed to paradise. Because he's on the cross, at this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. I asked one guy, I said, what do you think you got the keys? I'm a Bible scholar, PhD, said to me, what keys? The keys to a Volvo. The keys of death and of hell. Where do you find them? Well, I'll tell you, we find them now. Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ has them.
Amen.
You see, we throw all this away. We discard scripture after scripture after scripture, indifferent, glossing over it, or it doesn't suit our pattern.
Yeah.
But when you see it, it's there. And when you see it, it's right. Now, again, some of you know this, and I was, Brother Seeley and his folks are here. Thank the Lord for them being here. About a month ago, we preached a meeting over in Shingle House, Pennsylvania, a church that Pastor Hain had built up and grown all those years. And we were honored, privileged, the whole revival there. We preached a series of messages on the I Am of the Word of God. And we preached, I don't know, 4 or 5 nights on the I Am. And this afternoon, I was sitting, I got a preacher at Anchor Baptist Church on Sunday. And the Lord said, you haven't touched Isaiah and Ezekiel yet. I said, okay. I go through the Word of God. I see the word I am. I stop. I see I will. I stop. When I see I will and I am, I really stop. That's just where I'm at. I said, I'll just tell you where I'm at. I hope you're way beyond me. Listen, I'm not even smart. I'm lazy. I'm indifferent. I could care less. I'll be honest with you. I mean, in my flesh, dwelt no good thing. Just telling you the facts. I hope you're far beyond where I'm at. But you can rest assured this. You'll find Jesus Christ if you search. He's in there. The problem is, I don't think people are looking for it. I have no trouble finding it. There's times I have to stop myself and go, Lord, I see it, but I don't think anybody else is going to see it. This time to go, Lord, I really see you, but if I preach that, people are going to think I've lost my mind. Then I found out people think that anyway. It doesn't matter. Brother Fane Jordan, probably close to 20 years ago, he preached a message, and he said something in that message, and I staggered at it. I got the CD. I staggered at it. And I'm like, you know why? I just didn't see it. I didn't see it. It's probably 15 years later. I was reading through the Word of God. And I went, oh, there it is. The fame was right after all. Amen. He's with the Lord. Can't really say anything to him. Amen. He was right after all. The problem was me. I turned down the volume of that golden oil. I said, I turned down the volume. The lamps got a little bit dim. Couldn't see Jesus Christ. When the law starts flowing, his prophets start flowing.
That's good.
We'll see Christ.
Yes, right.
I control that volume. Are you listening? I control that. You say, oh, that's work salvation. No, that's not what I'm talking about. My diligence, my walk with God, that's exactly what it wants to be. I'll see Christ as much as I want to.
Amen.
I said, I'll see him as much as I want. And you'll see him as much as you want.
That's right.
And if you never see him, you got a problem.
Come on.
If you only see him in the New Testament, you got a problem.
Yeah, that's right.
Now listen, you say, well, I know pretty much everything you know about Jesus Christ. Don't forget old Asaph. Amen. I was sitting at home. And I'm being serious now. I was sitting there this afternoon and I looked at that and I thought, you know, I might get him on that one. And I'm like, but I'm going to feel really, really stupid if everybody's like, yeah, I've seen that. Because I just saw it for the first time just today in its entirety. And I thought, you know, I'm going to be all puffed up. Yeah, I know something they don't know. And then everybody goes, yeah, I saw that in third grade. Amen. I would have been so humiliated. I would have just quit preaching and laughed, to be honest with you. I'd be so embarrassed by that. But God showed us Jesus Christ. He showed us the Son of God. And he'll show you over and over and over and over. Let's go to Isaiah 53. Always a good place to stop. I've learned if my message is bombing, even worse than tonight, just go to Isaiah 53, into the high note. That's all people remember. Amen. It's worked for me. Brother Dale's worked for me for years. Brother, I remember that message you preached in our church in Isaiah 53. I'm like, amen. Verse 10. He hath pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul. Where is that? Travail is that woman about to have that baby, the most agonizing pain and angst of her life. She's about to have that child. That's her travail. And he speaks of the travail of the soul of Jesus Christ. And then some jackleg is into flipping about the soul of Jesus Christ to me. I said jack leg, that's not a swear word. As long as you have a leg in there, and you're not David Vernon, that's not a cuss word. Amen. They're indifferent about it. Well, I don't see a big deal about it. It's only mentioned about 300 times in the scripture I've found so far. That's a pretty big deal. You know, now listen, I'm not boasting. I said, you go find it yourself. You'll probably find a whole lot more than I ever found. Remember, I'm lazy. I'm indifferent. You can find it. You'll find it. If you're searching for him, you'll find it. It's just the mercy of God we're not going to seek. Just God's mercy. God's given us another day to seek him out, another day to search him out. And it's because of the travail of his soul that God will give you mercy. I'm satisfied by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. And again, notice this, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. That's the offering of his soul. He hath poured out his soul unto death. Let's go back to the book of Jonah, and I'll be done. Chapter 2. All those things we talked about, and there's so much going through my mind, but let's just read the chapter. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. What a strong saying. What a tremendous statement. What can I say to you? Because he was cast out of his sight, you don't have to be. Because he was cast out, you don't have to be. And he was cast out of his sight. But then when his cry came into the holy temple, the Lord heard him and delivered him. Now, you don't have to get on board with me. Listen, I don't need people on this train. But Psalm 34:6, so often it's used. Look at the verses around it. When he said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. I know that's me. But I also know it's because of him. Because that is him. When he cried, the Lord heard him. Go look at it. Don't get home. Go look at Psalm 34. The Lord heard it and saved him out of all his troubles. When he cried unto the Lord, he said, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down, notice these little words, down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars. Now, if somebody could explain to me where there's bars on earth, it'd be pretty simple. We don't want to believe it. But there's prisoners there because there's bars. And down to the bottom of the earth with their bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. That's not his body, that's his soul. He brought up his life from corruption. He's been made an offering for sin. He's judged. He's judged a sinner. God brought him up from corruption. O Lord my God, for my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. And now watch this. Salvation is of the Lord. Blah. Salvation is of the Lord. Now you don't have to think like I think. I think when he said Lord, that fish went bleh. Amen. Timeline's right. 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Son of man, 3 days and three nights. and the heart of the earth. What is the sign? What is Jonah's sign? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to come to this earth. He's going to die, according to the scriptures. He's going to be buried 3 days and three nights, according to the scriptures. But after 3 days and three nights, he's coming out.
Yeah, amen.
Your old Bill Clark, our first pastor, I got saved. One of them fancy schmancy singing groups came in. I was just a young convert. They sang, "The stone rolled away, the Son of God walked out." Mother Clark, as soon as they got done, got up in the pulpit. To God be all the glory. And he said, "Well, I appreciate that song, but the stone didn't roll away so Jesus could walk out." He said, "The stone rolled away so that you and I could see him." Now listen, I was a new, now listen, that's old hat to all of us. But I was just a young Christian. I was a new convert. And he said, "The stone rolled away so that you and I could see him." And I didn't know what else to do. I just yelled something like, "Ah, glory!" I didn't know what else to do. I'd never seen that in all my born days. Now, guys, we're all seasoned. We knew that. But I didn't know that. And I was the man of God getting in the pulpit. And he was not real educated, so he believed that Jesus Christ's soul was made an offering for sin. So he preached it. And we were mostly uneducated country folk. We just believed that. And it wasn't until I got into ministry and evangelism, and guys are teaching how Jesus Christ bore all of our hell and all of our judgment on the cross, and God judged him on the cross under the cover of darkness, and he bore our hell on the cross, and he died and went to paradise. And I'm sitting there going, I just don't quite believe that. And then the guy got up and he said, "If you're preaching the soul of Jesus Christ went to hell," he said, "you're preaching damnable heresy." And I was like, "Man, I don't want to be a heretic. I sure don't. And I still don't want to be a heretic. Heretic's not a good thing." And I just say, I don't want to damn people with my doctrine. And I'm sitting over there, 709 Marshall Street, the old house, sitting in my recliner. Earlier than Psalm 16, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." Listen, I had that good old-fashioned Scofield Notes Bible. Hey, man. There's a little footnote. It said Acts 2. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. Flip over to Acts 2. David the patriarch is both dead and buried. And his sepulcher is with us unto this day. And then Peter says, he was a prophet. And he prophesied. What did he prophesy? "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption."
That's right.
And I just went, okay. I got it now. I'll just believe what God said.
Yeah. Right.
So then I was reading over there in Jonah. Just a young convert. I was reading over there in Jonah one day. And he said, "The depths of hell cry high." I was just dumb enough to believe that. But I wasn't smart enough to realize Jonah's a prophet. Jonah's speaking of one which is to come. Did you learn something tonight?
Amen.
I did.
Yeah.
And the light got a little bit brighter. And a little bit brighter. And a little bit brighter. And I see Jesus Christ more clearly than I've ever seen him. Through the Word of God. And if you want to see him clear, you're going to find him in the Word of God.
Yes.
Bill Taylor.
Well, he asked you a question. I've got one. He asked you, "Did you learn anything?" I'm going to ask you this one. When you learned it, what happened in here? You do realize that book you hold in your lap is alive? There sits my wife. She's gone through 6 years of Bible Institute just to get a 4-year degree. That wasn't her fault. That was the teacher's. I just kept finding new stuff. And I couldn't help it. I had to teach it. Brother Cliff Parks and I went through the same school. Dr. Estep taught us, boys, I just gave you the foundation. It's up to you to build upon it. And I would call him up. I said, preacher, look what I found. And many was the time he said, amen, Taylor. I never saw that. Amen. And we started the school out there again, and they went out, and I would call him and let him know how the school was going. He was so excited. But my students are what excites me when they get excited by me. I'm always finding something in that book. You know, he left on me already. You know, he didn't cover the half of the I ams and I wills the other night.
No, I
watched as we were flipping pages, and even in context, I said, well, there's five he missed, there's three he missed, there's four he missed, there's two he missed, there's one he missed, there's four more. And I just kept finding them just while we were turning pages. You know what I mean? Man, inside, something just gets excited. That's the Word of God. It's alive.
Yep.
And it's there for you. Amen. People go to a football game. I know there's nobody like that in here, right? They go to a football game and woohoo! Yeah! Whoa! Run! Go! Go! Over what? Some guy carrying a piece of pigskin across a piece of real estate. And it's usually fake real estate. And yahoo! Man, that's the eternal Word of God. Something inside you ought to be doing flips when you see something like that and you learn something like that. Something you didn't see before. 41 years and I'm still finding something new in my Bible every time through.
Yeah.
It excites me. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But you know what else God gave? He gave His Word. And you can take His Word to the bank. It's there for you. God thought so much of you that not only did He send His Son, but He gave the Word, and great was the company of those who published it. Man, I'm telling you, that thing is all over the world. I've been in foreign countries. I've been in communist countries. I've been in African countries. I've been all over the world. Been in islands of the sea. And you open a King James Bible and people's hearts turn toward it. And pay attention. Oh, well, you know, it's just a Bible, right? You know, we had one in our house, you know, my whole life. I did. The only Bible we had in our home was that great big Catholic thing that's like, you know, and you know, all the pictures of the funky looking Jesus and the funky looking Mary, and that's all we had. We didn't know any better. But then I got saved.
Right.
And I started to realize some things. You know, I started out with one of those Schofields too, brother. But it wouldn't take me long. Because I'd look at that thing and I tried a different one. Center column references, you know. I don't have any references in there now but my own. There's sometimes I look at my own and go, where did I get that? You can't beat the text that God gave you for anything you got. You got a problem, the answer's in that book.
Right.
You got a need, the answer's in that book.
Yes,
you got a struggle where you can't beat it, the answer's in that book.
Yes.
For you. And you alone. Now, when I read it, it's there for me and me alone. You can't beat that book. For whatever battle you want to talk about, that book will do the job.
Right.
It ought to just thrill your soul that God Almighty cared enough for you to give you His Word.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, preserve it for you, inspire it for you. I mean, put it right there where when you read it, that's not what somebody said about God. That's what God said to you. And all through that book, the one that thrills my soul the most lately is where Solomon said he's looking through the lattice. You ever look up just to see if you can see the lattice? He's looking through the lattice. You know what he's looking for? You. He's coming soon. And all that book will be fulfilled when we see Christ.
Yes.
And we'll know as we're known. We'll understand as He understands. What a day that'll be. Man, get excited about that book. And if you can't, do a checkup. Find a way somehow just to get excited about God and what He did for you. Man, you're not in hell yet.
Right.
Still got a chance. And if you're saved, you're never ever going to go there.
Absolutely.
The only thing you might get is a little whiff of the smoke every now and then as it ascends up. But you're not going there. And not because of you, because of Him. It's all about Him. And He is about you. He wants you. Lock, stock, and barrel. Hair, hide, and all. He wants to take your life and use it for His glory. And when He can do that, He'll bless it. Like they used to say down in Carolina where I got saved, He'll bless your socks off. He'll bless you greater than you ever dreamed you could be blessed. That's Him. Preacher, you got anything to say in closing?
Yeah. Who would doubt that I had anything to say? First of all, brother, we give that to Brother Williams. Why don't you announce to the folks?
Yes, sir. 1,882.25.
It's wrapping up Youth Week 2022. Will there be a Youth Week in 2023? Well, this church determines it. The world's pretty unstable. You know what the good news was in this? Lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Are you looking for Jesus Christ? He's in that book.
Amen.
All right, that's where He is. I think, and I mean this, that the tools have been put into your hand to know who that man is. And that when you see him, you'll become like him inwardly. Okay? He'll change you. And you need changing. Some of you that are changed, I have seen some work in some folks, and I have loved the work that I've seen. I have. I loved it. And June 25th was the last Sunday of 2023. June 2023, that's when we'll start again. This Sunday, for those of you who can, Brother McVeigh will be at the Anchor Baptist Church, 6 o'clock. For those of you who want to go over there, we usually get a crowd to go over. You think you guys will let us in there, Josh?
Yeah.
Okay, good, I'm glad. I'm glad to do that. So, with that in mind, I hope every soul's clear. Hope everybody knows where to look in the Word of God. Now, I need a few people to help tomorrow. Ryan Smith's going to be moving out of the cabin that he's in the woods there. And I know you got a burden on you. I know that, okay? I need you to coordinate with my son, Carl, who's not going to sleep much tonight because he's going to take folks to the airport in the morning. When he comes back, until you coordinate, so they can go into that cabin and just help you guys after you've gone to, you know, do those pathology, you know, clean up or whatever else. If I could have a couple ladies, we'll volunteer you to Miss Samantha. That'd be a good volunteer. Can you volunteer for the morning or you got to work? Oh, probably not till 10 o'clock or so. You can work that? Would 10 o'clock kind of work for you? Yeah, that would work, okay. And then a couple guys, and if there's another lady or two who can work with her, just let the fellas know. Carl, you get somebody else to go to work with you, and take some stuff over there, and, you know, just to help you guys out, all right? I love the fact you've come. And I know it was a burden, and I know it was a struggle, okay? This church has struggled with many people here, all right? I remember when my pastor struggled with me and my wife, okay? We owe him. We owe Jesus Christ for having sent him. You got a good pastor. You go and work with him. Father, I thank you for Youth Week 2022. Thank you for each person that was here. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.